I'm Al Snow. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for March 27th. Holidays today, real quick. It's National Joe Day. And Passover begins at sundown. I don't know what Joe Day means, but it's National Joe. I would say Samoa Joe is going to kill you. All right, we're paying for that. Pain Clinic brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. A quick happy birthday to former WWE Tag Team Champion from the World's Greatest Tag Team, of course, with Shelton Benjamin. Charlie Haas is 49 today. And former TNA ring girl, interview girl, I'm not really sure what she did, but she was always there someplace. SoCal Val is 35 today. She's been on the show before, too, I think, a long time ago. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. The men's team is the Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Check them out if you would like to volunteer. I am the Cash Man, your humble host this morning. We are joined by Furby. How's it going, Furbs, with your Mr. Matt hat on?
Yeah, it's going good. Just a few days away from opening day. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah, opening day, Easter, all that things are all happening in the end of March. Danger Boy, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well. I'd be wearing my Mr. Matt hat too, but it's upstairs instead.
Yeah, and DC Dan Cole. DC, it's nice to have you and Danger Boy back this week. How was the hot tub of love?
You know, after a lot of moving and unpacking, felt good.
Yeah, how's the new abode, man? And I'm excited. I see the belts behind you, man. And maybe we'll get a good picture before the end of the show. Yeah, there they are. Look at that.
It's going well. It's a work in progress. I still need several more to house the collection, but we'll get there.
Very cool. And so very cool. So now you're home, sweet home in North Carolina. We're never getting you back, right?
No, because it's probably going to snow there next week, and it's going to be like 80 something here. So
yeah, well, we had a little taste of spring this past week. It was in the 60s, and I think even got to 70 on Thursday. I think it was really, really. It's been nice this past weekend. If we do see snow, I'm going to cry. But you know what? I know it's not going to last either. So. We're here, but we're, of course, here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and maybe the artiste will show up. Maybe he won't. It's always a mystery. We'll find that out when it happens, but we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. I want to do a little bit of a flashback. We did, you know, we had the last WWE event pay-per-view, the first event pay-per-view on the Peacock Network, and the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, which is less than 20 days away, much less than 20 days away now. And I want to talk a little bit about Fastlane because it kind of sets up some things that I don't know were too solid for WrestleMania. We heard stories a couple weeks ago that Vince threw out a lot of plans that he wanted to do with WrestleMania. He just took them and he said, or I don't know if he threw them out or if he got out the eraser and added things and subtracted things. But after this past weekend, last weekend's Fastlane, which overall I thought it was a good pay-per-view. Furbs, what did you think?
I thought it was good for what it was, to be honest. Normally that last show right before Mania is just a crapshoot, but honestly I thought it kind of delivered for what it was. It set up, you know, this past week of television to really get ready for WrestleMania. Saw a lot of things start to fall in place. You know, down the card, if I was to rank my top three matches, I'm going the main event, Reigns, Bryan. You know, McIntyre and Sheamus had a heck of a match. And then, of course, the one that got missed by most people on the pre-show, Riddle and Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, in which we saw the Retribution break up, I think. I mean, at the end of it, they all kind of like, you know, split apart. DC, pay-per-view, you know, the warm-up to WrestleMania. We were talking a little bit before the show, and I'll just say that we're all very jealous of Randy Orton, okay? I'm just going to say that, okay?
No, I'm happily married. I would never envy another man in his position or that position. No, but, yeah, I'm gonna agree with Furby on this one. And I don't know if I'm just feeling generous this morning or if they've just set the bar so low that anything that isn't terrible is good by my standards for them. But yeah, as far as things go, you know, Fastlane is typically a throwaway. You don't see too much volatility there. You don't see, you know, too much that pushes things. But all in all, for WWE, for, you know, the last show before WrestleMania, I thought they did a pretty good job.
Danger?
Yeah, I can't say much more than that. I thought, you know, it was pretty well known that this was a test for them on the Peacock Network to make sure they didn't have the streaming issues, get them all worked out before Mania. And they ended up putting on a pretty solid show. The Reigns-Bryan match was fantastic. I very much enjoyed that, especially some of the counters that Bryan did to get into the Yes Lock. And it was a fun show to watch. I mean, it had its moments that weren't so fun, and there was some stuff that resembled a Monday Night Raw. But other than that, it was a nice, you know, time well spent.
Okay, well, I'm going to point out a couple things that I liked and disliked. One thing that I disliked, Big E Apollo Crews match. I'm not really sure what was going on. Big E sold like all over the place. It was only 5 minutes and 45 seconds long, but Big E was getting pounded down, and then all of a sudden it ended. It really seemed like kind of a very quick end to it. I thought maybe someone was hurt or something. There's more to be told in that story or not. I don't know, but That was one.
I think they just wanted to get to Big E's five count, but they only got to four.
The next thing, Braun Strowman's supposed to be taking on The Miz. Miz comes out and says, "Oh no, sorry, Shane McMahon." See, we weren't sure about the Shane McMahon thing with Braun Strowman. We weren't sure about it. Now we know why it was kind of not promoted, because Shane McMahon's hurt, and so he made Elias go in and he'd be the sacrificial lamb in a 3 minute and 50 second long match against Braun Strowman. Really, it didn't do much for. Obviously, we're building up to Braun versus Shane at WrestleMania. Since Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura takes a pin. I enjoyed that. That was a fun match. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. I think I saw a better match 3 weeks ago on Raw between the two than we saw on the pay-per-view. Now it was good. I mean, I think they spent more time walking or, you know, dragging each other around the arena before they would do a move on each other. And then, you know, I just couldn't wait till it got back in the ring to finish, because it just like, there was just a lot of movement, during the match, and it's like, you know, just getting to different places to do things. You know, maybe
how about Drew's Braveheart face paint.
Yeah, it's called. He came out in the Braveheart face paint. I would say that was.
And did he bend the sword?
It looked like it. When he jammed it in, it tipped to the side. I will say that it didn't look like he got it down all the way. You know, like I said, we all wish we were Randy Orton at the end of that match with Alexa Bliss. And Roman Reigns, and briefly, we're going through and talking a little bit about Fastlane last weekend, you know, on how some of the things that we all kind of liked it, but I had a few criticisms. I will say, the whole time I'm watching Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, I think that I felt like they're trying to add Daniel Bryan to the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, especially when we got the tap from Roman Reigns, which he never really recovered from, even at the end of that match when Edge came and quote unquote healed out. I don't know if that's really a heel move, because Daniel Bryan took Edge out 2 weeks ago on Friday Night SmackDown, you know, it kicked him in the face. So not really sure if that was a real heel move by, because he also beat Roman Reigns with the chair as well. But that was a fun match. I will say that was probably that was my favorite match in the whole pay-per-view. And it's, you know, and it, or sorry, wrestling event, whatever it's called on the Peacock Network. But it was definitely, I thought that was, you know, I can't imagine that Daniel Bryan would have nothing to do at WrestleMania when that match ended, because there's too little time to set anything else up, I think, unless he wants to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
No, I mean, you kind of thought something was up going into the match, and the way it played out and the way it finished, that's hands down where they're going. And I am 100% for it. To me, it screams of calling back to the main event of WrestleMania 20 between, you know, Triple H, HBK, and he who will not be named. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, mate.
Take the other stuff out of it if you can. One of the greatest... Still, to me, one of the greatest main events of WrestleMania. So I'm all for this match.
I definitely think it can't hurt, that's for sure, to put that guy in. And it's like, you know, that's what, like I said, when we started the show, that Vince McMahon had grabbed in a pencil and started erasing things and adding things to matches. If Daniel Bryan's added to that match, then, you know, you're going to get like a 30-minute quality, you know, at least match WrestleMania, Roman Reigns and Edge. And maybe Bryan takes the pin, you know, for Edge, and Edge wins the title. And then they find a way, you know, then they can spin a little Roman Reigns Edge matchup for the next few months. So, Mr. Artiste, how you doing this morning?
Not bad. How are you? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. We were just talking a little bit about Fastlane before we go to our first break. Just talking about how we felt, you know, overall the matches were, and how we had very low expectations, but there were some good stuff that we enjoyed. Anything that stood out to you from the Fastlane pay-per-view last weekend?
No.
No, I was going to say. No.
I said I was mainly looking forward to the Big E match, which that was barely even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the main event was good, but of pay-per-views that I've watched all time, I mean, that was the one that was like the least I've actually looked at the TV and paid attention maybe ever. So it was hard to get into because it just felt like a filler Peacock trial night, whatever. It didn't like just an unimportant game, like an unimportant event on the road to WrestleMania. So I'm not going to be as positive as the rest of you guys.
Well, it is what it is. Yeah. I will just say that I think that maybe that was the only match that really has any repercussion at WrestleMania. I mean, besides Braun Strowman having to beat Elias instead of Shane McMahon, obviously that may carry over to WrestleMania. But I think, you know, adding Daniel Bryan to the main event would not be a bad thing at all.
See, but I didn't need Braun Strowman against Elias, and I don't need Braun Strowman against Shane McMahon. So however you put those... that group of guys together, whatever, I'm not going to care about any combination of it. That was maybe the worst part of the wrestling week.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like, you know, thrown together. And that, you know, remember how they stopped promoting it all of a sudden after they had initially had the Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon matchup, and then all of a sudden they stopped talking about it for a week or so. So it means that they changed their mind on how they want to, their avenue and how they want to go to WrestleMania with it. But, you know, I mean, like, I didn't, you know, when I was going through my recap, I didn't mention Riddle because I completely missed that, which I'm kind of bummed about. And the Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler defending their titles against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. You know, I don't know. I mean, they're trying to build some heat between Sasha and Bianca, you know. But now the Peacock Network, did you guys watch it? I watched it on the WWE Network, and I have a feeling I know the next one I'm going to have to watch on the Peacock Network. But I heard, you know, I mean, there was like some people had some complaints about Peacock. And
there was a delay. There was a 30-second delay between Peacock and the WWE Network. I watched the WWE Network, but I heard a lot of people talk about it online that there was a delay.
So they couldn't fast forward,
couldn't start over. Yeah. I didn't see anybody saying anything positive about that compared to watching it on the network itself. I watched it on the network, but you couldn't start over. You couldn't fast forward or rewind or anything like that. I have spent about 60 seconds on the WWE section of Peacock and went right back to the WWE Network app instead because I do not like it at all right now. It has a long way to go.
Now, Ferbs, you got an email today from the WWE about the network. What did it say?
Yeah, I mean, so I thought I had at least until April 4th. usually the money comes out of my account today, and that's when I get charged per month. Well, I got told that my account is getting canceled today and that I won't have access to WWE Network. So now I'm forced to go to Peacock. So it's a little frustrating. Kind of want to pull my hair out because I've taken a peek so far on Peacock, and not appealing, not easy to search. I know there's not everything over there yet, and that's not even my biggest concern. There's just the accessibility and the friendliness of the user friendliness of it just stinks.
I hate the way that it's arranged, like Royal Rumble, 34 seasons, whatever, like episodes, season, like it's arranged like everything's a TV show. Like,
yeah.
I hope they make a ton of changes, and at some point it looks nothing like it does right now. And obviously, like, the WWE Network itself has evolved a lot in the last 7 years, so you would expect, you know, this isn't what it's going to be forever, but so far, not so good in my book.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that I've heard the original beef a lot of people had was that you can't start from the beginning.
If you start late, you pick it up exactly where it is. You don't get the option to start it from the beginning until well after the event is completed.
Yeah, that, and I don't know. I'm sure they'll insert ads eventually. They have to make money somehow, and you probably won't be able to fast forward through them, you know.
On the pay-per-view, they're not supposed to, except for, it's going to be like the pay-per-views they had previously for the live events and stuff like that. It's not going to be added in unless they do it like they did with the Old Spice commercial this past week.
And by the
good
way,
old Rick Bugs.
Yeah, and one thing that kind of I had a beef with was just some of the backstage vignettes that were on that pay-per-view too. That just I did not find funny, and I don't, you know, like I listen. I like Riddle, but man, I don't know what they're trying to do with him. Is he a surfer dude? Is he a stoner dude? Is he a skater dude? You know, I mean, now apparently he's got a scooter, so he's a scooter dude.
Vince McMahon thinks all of those things are the same thing, so that's what Riddle is.
I'm watching this bit he's doing, and it's like, is this supposed to be funny? I don't get it, you know? And it's like, I don't know, but
yeah,
we've got a couple of weeks now until WrestleMania, and hopefully, I know that they're going to be adding a lot more matches. We've barely touched the surface of it. Because they got 2 days to fill, and NXT this past week, at least they threw out enough for 2 days so far, or at least, you know, the chunk of 2 days of shows. So
there's a lot of those NXT matches I am excited for.
Yes, definitely. And
we'll
talk about that in the flip side. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with the Artiste, Rob Sanderson, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, Furby, and you. It's Saturday morning. It's Rochester, New York. We're talking the world of pro wrestling. Just got done pretty much taking part, Fastlane pay-per-view. We want to talk a little bit about NXT, NXT building up to their next pay-per-view, which is going to be 2 days of wrestling, which DC, you did mention that you're super excited. I think we're getting some really good storylines from NXT in the last few weeks. I think, you know, I'm really digging Adam Cole. Adam Cole, you know, he doesn't have to explain himself. He doesn't, you know, explain, but he's going to be wrestling Kyle O'Reilly in an unsanctioned match, which I, you know, as long as there's no exploding rings in it, we'll be okay. But they've got two nights, the first night, stand and deliver, they call it night one. We got Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez for the women's title. That ought to be pretty good. I mean, kind of enjoying Raquel Gonzalez. She's definitely, she's the new Rhea Ripley, I guess. She's the big girl, you know, she powers through people. We got that. Walter versus Ciampa for the NXT UK title. I like Walter coming in and kind of bullying everybody. MSK versus the Grizzled Young Veterans versus Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wild in a triple threat for the vacant NXT titles, which unfortunately, we hinted at last week that the dude got hurt. And unfortunately with an injury, someone's got to be the title carrier. And that's so far they've got what they got for the first night. Second night, of course, Finn Balor carrying Cross for the NXT. I'm loving that because, carrying Cross supposed to get the nod to go up, hasn't yet, but, is biding his time to go up to wherever he's going. Probably SmackDown, I'm guessing. Or Raw, but I mean, is he more of like look over style? I don't know. Let's stop while we're going through the description and everything. I mean, Karrion Kross has got the, he looks like a big Stone Cold Steve Austin. Every time I see him, I mean, he has the same kind of physique. I remember him when he was in Impact Wrestling. Karrion Kross, I think it was. Was it? I'm trying to remember.
Killer Kross.
That's right, Killer Kross. And it's like, but he reminds me a lot of him, and it's like, not the greatest amount of luck so far since coming to NXT, but he's getting fast-tracked, and it's like, but that's going to be a great, I mean, Finn Balor came out and kind of got in his face on NXT this past week, and it's about time, put these two guys in, but is he getting pushed too fast, DC? What do you think?
Not if you realize that he kind of fits the Vince McMahon ideal mold. I mean, that pretty much seems like the guy that Vince likes. Big guy, marketable, has decent skill set, but he's all about the presence and the appearance.
Yeah, I think
not a knock against him, but that's why he's getting fast tracked.
Oh yeah.
And I think if they're fast tracking him, they're doing it the right way, because since he's come back from injury, they've definitely built his character up before. I thought when he first won the NXT Championship, he really wasn't all that interesting. But Scarlett's evolution of her character has added a lot to his character since returning from injury. And I think them two together, the entrance, just her involvement outside the ring and in this feud with Finn as well. Two stars are being born right here, I think.
I don't want to be negative about everything. I swear I'll praise something at some point, but I just quickly scrolled through the list of every NXT champion, and I'm not saying I dislike Cross, but he is my least favorite of every NXT champion there's been. And that doesn't mean he's terrible. I think the list of people who have been NXT champions is really, really strong, stronger than any other belt in most of wrestling, to be honest. But I don't know. I agree with the thought about like him being kind of Vince style, maybe more main roster style. To me, he's not the same type of NXT guy you think of when you think of the Garganos and Ciampas and back in the day, like even Owens and Zayn and others. Like I don't know. I liked his stuff on the indies and some of the Impact stuff, and I like some of the stuff now, but to me, he's just not. He's not the NXT guy. I think he'll be better suited on the main roster.
Danger, you have some thoughts on him?
Well, I think he's custom made for the main roster. He's custom made for Vince. He's got the entrance for it. He's got the valet for it. I think it's just a matter of time. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if he lost to Finn Balor and showed up after WrestleMania on Raw.
That's what I think I can't imagine. Finn Balor's happy where he's at. He wants to be where he's at. And I think that Karrion Kross is moving his way up. Also on the same card, we got like I mentioned a minute ago, the unsanctioned match between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, which I love how they're building this heat up amongst all the former members of the Undisputed Era, including Roddy, and I would love to see a three-way with those guys. Maybe that's where we're heading towards eventually, because Kyle O'Reilly pretty much said, Roddy, we're not a team anymore either, and that's kind of, I love the heat being built up. I think hopefully, someone could catch fire from that. If anybody, Kyle O'Reilly, he's already shown him what he can do in the ring more than a few times against Finn, Balor there. I don't know what unsanctioned means though, because it's like every time I think of unsanctioned, now I'm only going to think of this sparklers around the outside of the ring or something, it's like, or tacks, things like that, but it's still, those guys will put on a hell of a match. And we got Gargano. This is like obviously the second night of this stand and deliver. We get all the titles because we got Gargano defending his NXT North American Championship against the winner of a Gauntlet Eliminator, which is there's a six-man match for six-man gauntlet eliminator. They didn't say exactly who's in it yet, but I'm sure we'll find out pretty soon. And then we got Santo Escobar versus Jordan Devlin in a ladder match to unify the NXT championship. And Jordan Devlin's the NXT UK holder, right? Because I know they both had the belts.
No, he's the actual cruiserweight holder that had to give it up because he couldn't come back to the country.
I will say it was a really classy thing they did on NXT this past week by having Shawn Michaels come out and to help them decide how they were going to do it by throwing a ladder between the two guys arguing in the ring.
I am all for that match. That is the one I think I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, I mean, Shawn Michaels has a lot to do what's going on in NXT right now, and I guess I didn't hear about this until just recently, but I guess Triple H had to be quarantined for a few weeks because of COVID experience. Not saying that he had it or anything, but he had to be, so he couldn't be around for a few weeks. So Shawn Michaels was the one over in NXT running the show, him and the Road Dogg. And it was, you know, and he really is taking to running this and, you know, imparting his wisdom upon younger guys. It's a different world now, man, because you imagine this is the same guy who like 15 years ago, you know, wouldn't lay down for anybody, you know, and it's like now he's like teaching the next class.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say real quick, and I want what Shawn Michaels did to kind of be the blueprint going forward. Like, he didn't have to cut a stupid promo, he didn't dance around, he marches down, pulls out the ladder, throws it in the ring, looks at the guys, points up, and you knew exactly what was going on without a single word being uttered. It was fantastic.
I love this match because when's the last time we've seen a Cruiserweight Championship match with a ladder? It's been a long time. Not since they brought the NXT, or not since they brought the Cruiserweight Championship back to WWE, that's for sure, in 2016. So, I mean, just think how long it's been.
You know what? I hate to say it, but I think these two nights are going to top anything WWE is going to do at WrestleMania, unless they, you know, I mean, just from what we've seen, the blueprint of what's going on, you know. I mean, yes, I'm excited if we get a Lashley-Drew McIntyre match, but then again, like I said before on the show weeks ago, that we had that with Impact Wrestling, you know, multiple times those guys took each other on, and they did trade the belt back and forth. So it's like, you know, so I think, but I think that was a very marketable feud that never, you know, that was unfortunately trapped in Impact. You know, I mean, and I think that's why we're getting it now. It's being put on a bigger stage. Much like anything AJ Styles did for many years, too. And I want to mention something. We talked about, Rob, you talked about NXT champions. What about Samoa Joe? I think he might be the only one who really, after holding that NXT championship for a long time, coming up to the main roster, really couldn't do anything. I know he had injury issues and stuff, but...
What about Bo Dallas?
Okay, okay. Yeah. Well, Bo knows.
I still like Bo Dallas better than Karrion Kross.
Okay. <I don't> know. You know, I will say that,
I was a Bo-leaver back in the day. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, it was it was fun back then. I don't know how he's still under contract at this point, but.
Good question. Yeah. You know, maybe he's doing like a body double for his brother for certain events when they don't really need. Well, quickly, I'll speak about, we didn't talk about that on Fastlane, but not only did Alexa Bliss, you know, beat Randy Orton, but we did get to see the newest incarnation of the Fiend, and it was a melted version, I believe. You know, well, he was on fire in the match, so it makes sense that he's all melted now. But the funny thing is I just read this today that they're still making Orton the heel in the match. So it's, how do you make a heel? How do you make a face out of that face? You know, it's like, I'm not sure where they're going with this whole angle with Orton. I think Orton, I don't know. DC?
Hey, we get a burnt Fiend, but don't you dare slap your thigh because that ruins the realism, damn it.
I think when you think about fans being there, the fans are going to cheer for the Fiend. So, I mean, they've been waiting for him to come back and everything, and fans kind of come and go in terms of, like, cheering on Orton. So if it was an empty arena situation, then maybe it could be reversed. But I don't think you're going to see fans booing the Fiend and Alexa, even if they try.
Especially because Alexa is gorgeous, okay? I mean, you know, I mean, she really is a very attractive woman. And it's like, you know, that match, though, to be honest with you, was just a big waste of the time watching the pay-per-view. Like, having Randy Orton walk in slow motion after her and having things drop from the sky, missing him. And, yeah, it was... And the fireballs she was throwing. I'm trying to figure out where they were. You know, they didn't even show her where they were coming from. So someone was probably sitting back there with like a fireball gun or something over her shoulder shooting them. So,
Cash, don't forget what happened the last time Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt had a match at WrestleMania.
Uh-oh, let's see. What happened the last time? Did we?
Let's see. Randy Orton walked down the ramp on a sperm-like snake.
Oh, that's right. The giant snake.
We got the projections on the ring, and we got a really terrible match.
On that note, we're going to go to break. We'll come back, talk some more stuff. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste, Furby, Danger Boy, and DC Dan Cole. The whole crew is here this week as we start getting warmed up to the two-night WrestleMania coming up. Did you get your tickets? No? Yes? No, I didn't get my ticket, so I'm guessing it's sold out, but I haven't heard much about that yet. 25,000.
I'm not going anywhere near Florida right now.
Yeah, I'll stay away too. I dig that. But so I want to mention in this segment we got to do a couple things. One, first of all, I got to talk about WWE had some Hall of Fame announcements this past week. First of all, Batista's not going to be there to get his award because he had some sort of other planned event that he couldn't get out of. So they're going to hold off Batista's entry into the Hall of Fame for another year, which is probably fine. He's a smart guy. He doesn't want to go to Florida either for it. So, but we had an announcement on, I think, was it Wednesday? Two announcements of people going in, and I thought it was funny how first we heard the great Khali is going in, and DC. I'll let you explain.
Again, I'd like to take this moment to apologize to a Mr. Coco Beware. I feel like we may have been too harsh on you in the past. Thank you for your contributions. the new low bar is the great Khali.
Now, the great Khali.
I'm going to disagree.
Yeah, he was.
His plaque has to be adjacent. At least to the celebrity wing.
To Drew Carey.
Great Khali is somebody who helped build their business in India. He's a former world champion. Is there one Great Khali match I can tell you that I absolutely loved and I've gone back and watched? No, there's not. But I don't think I think quite honestly, the Hall of Fame was ruined years ago by many or maybe even most of the people they're inducting. It doesn't mean anything anymore. But I'm not gonna put him at the absolute worst.
I will say this. Great Khali was at least WWE champion, okay? He was so he's
not very memorable.
The Birdman was never the WWE champion, okay? So
they should be inducting maybe three people a year. They induct way too many people. And that, like, the fact is, like, they didn't do the ceremony last year. You don't need to do a full class again this year. We have to watch everybody who was supposed to go in last year. Like, stop putting so many people in.
I do want to hear the great Khali's speech, though. That has me intrigued.
Well, you know, we've still got a lot of people from last year, like the Bella Twins, who never got their chance to get inducted.
I'd like to apologize to the great Khali.
There you go.
The thing is, to tide us over after the great Khali, we heard about the great Khali, was they announced the Undertaker and called up Kane and told him that he was going to be going into the Hall of Fame too, which of course Kane should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Totally agree with that. 100%. Mm-hmm. Granted, Kane has only spent, what, one day as WWE champion, and however long is that one World Heavyweight Championship reign and the ECW, the WWE ECW belt.
Yeah.
A lot of tag team accomplishments. He absolutely deserves it, but, like, to me, he's on, I hate to say this, he deserves it because of tenure in the company.
Yeah.
But he's not. If I was in charge of the Hall of Fame every year, he would be on the lower end of people getting in. There are way too many people that are getting into the Hall of Fame. If you look at any sport out there, look at how hard it is to get into a baseball Hall of Fame, a hockey Hall of Fame, whatever. WWE, it's like, oh, you wrestled for us for a few years. Yeah, okay, Alicia Fox, Melina, the Bella Twins. Like, I don't know who's going to be next, but like –
Well,
Garrison Cade. Like, I mean, where is the bar?
That's a good question. You know, I think once they started the celebrity neck of the Hall of Fame, there was a few people who deserved it. Pete Rose came out and got, you know, tombstone for like multiple years in a row. He definitely deserved it. But, you know, but that also may open it up for people who would show up once a year, like Snoop Dogg and these other guys. So
I'm still waiting for one of the largest omissions to get inducted.
Well, there's a lot
and
of
it's not a, and it's not a wrestler.
Okay.
Jim Johnston.
Oh yeah, the music. Yeah, the musician. Yeah, he definitely.
He needs to be in there.
And referees should be getting in there. Oh, and yeah. Other like the some of these wrestlers. I mean, come on. I hate to say this because she is one of my favorites ever, and it feels weird saying this right now, a couple weeks before the induction. But like, did Molly Holly really have a Hall of Fame worthy career? If she was in any other sport, would she have had a Hall of Fame career? She had a good career, and I thoroughly enjoyed all of her work.
Yeah.
Like, but come on.
Yeah. Super. She was a sidekick to a lot of people. That's, you know, she really wasn't her own.
She was a hell of a lot better than so many other women in the division at that time and since then. And again, really a big fan. Like, I popped for her entrance huge in Houston last year at the Rumble. I was pumped to see Mighty Molly come out. But like, if she better her than the Bellas, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like there's no real standard to be a WWE Hall of Famer anymore.
Again, but there the problem is it's just sheer numbers.
Well, no, get this. Yeah. Another thing I did, and I wanted to mention this before we stop talking about the Hall of Fame, but the NWO went in last year and are going to be inducted this year. And the NWO, most of those guys are already in it. You know, as you know, in one way or the other, you know, I mean, I know that Hulk Hogan's already in it, and he's, you know, that and that's another thing is I want
individual people should only be going in. They shouldn't be putting in factions or if it's a tag team, then they both individually go in at the same time or something. But I don't like people being multiple time.
Ric Flair was the first one going in as himself and then going in as part of the Four Horsemen, you know, and you know, and those were both, yes, historic. That was a historic group. But Hulk Hogan's going in. Yeah, like I said, this is the second time, and it's bad enough. Nobody wants to see him at WrestleMania. OK, I'm going to throw it out there. I know he's never going to come on the show, so I don't care. You know what? I never was a Hulkamaniac. And, you know, I agree with Big E, and I agree with everyone who, like, has a problem with him. You know, his excuse was very lukewarm about his racism in the past. It definitely did not, you know, there was definitely no justifiability to it. And it's like, and now and Titus O'Neil have been named the quote-unquote host. And I love it how some of the guys like Big E are posting, that guy and Titus O'Neil are going to be there, you know, things like that. They're just trying to avoid calling him by name. You know, I don't know. And then he's going into the Hall of Fame, and I never was a Hulkster, and man, I don't want to see it. I know there's a lot of people that love him, you know, and willing to forgive him. But
I don't know if Titus is one of those people, because he was pretty outspoken when everything went down.
Yeah.
Is this also going to mean that, like, at some point you're going to show up at some random convention and now, like, Virgil and Disco Inferno are going to be like, hey, I was in the NWO. Like, I'm a Hall of Famer. Like, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you're not.
No, that was the NWO red, man. That's not the black and white. You know, I don't know. Yeah, you know, really, think about it. You know what? You have to include everybody. That's how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, works. You know, it's like if you're one of the 45 members of, you know, this band, you go in. So, no, it's
not. Does Shawn Michaels go in again for his WWE NWO run in 2002?
I don't think so. I think it's only four people.
And nobody remembers or cares about?
I think there's only four people from the NWO, quote-unquote, going in. That's, you know, Big Sexy, Scott Hall, X-Pac, and Hulk Hogan.
I only remember the NWO run with Shawn Michaels for the either intentional or unintentional display of racism they did during a segment, which we can talk about another time, but that's the only thing that sticks out to me from that WWE run of the NWO.
All I remember is Scott Hall and the brick that crushed on Stone Cold Steve Austin's freaking ankle at WrestleMania 18 up in Toronto.
Or Hogan driving a semi through the ambulance with Rock. Was it Rock or Austin in it? I can't remember now.
I think it was Rock. It was So the Hall of Fame, you know what? And I'm hearing now that they've been taping the Hall of Fame inductions already. They started this past week. So maybe we won't get, you know, stuck with, like, you know, the 45-minute Ric Flair entrance or speech in which he would had to be told to shut up by Triple H and embarrassed on national TV, or it wasn't national TV at the time, it was just the network, but
I guess at least we're in an age where things are available to watch later, but, I mean, we kind of talk every week about how there's too much wrestling on a regular week, and now all of your regular hours of WWE per week, plus a two-night NXT, 2 years worth of the Hall of Fame, 2 nights of WrestleMania, like, I'm exhausted just mentioning all that stuff.
Oh yeah, we're
I'm looking forward to a lot of those like NXT matches and stuff. But by the time we get around to Sunday night, like, oh, yeah. Am I going to care about if the best match in the history of WWE happens Sunday night? Am I even going to care at that point? Or I'm just going to be drained and exhausted from whatever I watched so far that week. I don't know. I feel like sometimes less is more, and this is just too much.
It
for
is.
1 week.
I mean, we're talking Monday, Tuesday.
The takeover doesn't have to be that week if it's not going to be in front of fans and stuff. 2 nights of a takeover?
Yeah.
Do you have to do that the same week plus everything else?
Yeah, like I said, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 7 straight days of wrestling.
And then Monday again.
And then Monday again. So 8 straight
days. And
possibly Tuesday again. And, yeah. And that's when NXT is supposed to move to Tuesday.
Yeah.
And not to mention all the other promotions that are still running that week.
Yes.
And
love those other promotions.
That's right. So on that note, we're going to break. We'll come back, do our last segment. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic on the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, and you. This is our last segment. We're going to do a little bit of news. I'm going to catch everybody up. News came out this week. Impact Wrestling confirmed that its weekly flagship TV show, Impact, will be returned to its traditional Thursday night time slot beginning April 8th. I can't remember the last time it was on Thursday night, to be honest with you. The fast-paced show in professional wrestling, the fastest-paced, pardon me, wrestling is now airing 8 p.m. It'll be every Thursday on Access TV. Of course, you have to have Access TV to be able to see it, but it's definitely worth watching, and then when they do their flashback shows at Impact in 60, you get to see all the guys who are now in WWE, you know, and AEW as well, because they like to highlight a lot of those matches. AJ Styles had probably most of his career matches in Impact, but some other news: AEW Dynamite delivered a special announcement this past week. Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes are going to be starring in a new unscripted series called Roads to the Top. From Warner Brothers Unscripted Television, it's gonna show the lives of Cody and Brandi as they navigate their growing family while building AEW's global wrestling empire. It's gonna have all sorts of wrestlers on it, cameoing on it, and they haven't said when it's gonna start. As they call it, the hilarious Motley Crew of wrestlers. So, you know, Motley Crew of wrestlers, family and friends. So we'll be looking for that to debut on TNT, I'm guessing. WWE is going to be bringing its world-class viewing experience, dubbed the Thunderdome, to Yuengling Center as it remains in Tampa. But unfortunately, baseball season's starting, and they're in a baseball stadium. So you kind of figure why they have to move it. Their first night in Yuengling Stadium, Yuengling Stadium, is going to be April 12th for the Monday Night Raw. That's immediately following WrestleMania. Interesting. So then we talked about last week how Andrade had asked for his release. Well, WWE gave it to him this past week. So Andrade now is a free man. And the coolest thing is no compete thrown out, I believe. So he could show up on another show as soon as like the next week. I'm thinking maybe they're taking advantage of his relationship with Charlotte Flair, who, by the way, has COVID. We won't see at WrestleMania. That came out, too. But I think they're taking advantage of his relationship with Charlotte Flair by letting him be free, knowing that he won't go and burn the company by showing up on AEW or Impact Wrestling this week. I could be wrong. I know. What do you guys think?
There's been mixed reports on that, too, whether or not he has the no-compete or not. So depends who you want to believe on that, but I think he could have some bangers in AEW. So we talk about how that roster doesn't need to get bigger, but he's somebody who could certainly thrive there.
Oh, well,
we cash to your statement. Like, what would stop him?
Nothing.
Is WWE really going to punish Charlotte Flair?
I don't know.
Talk about someone who's had the rocket strapped to them since they debuted.
That's true. You know,
the greatest women's wrestler of all time. Yes.
Well, the last name is Flair, right? Flair for the gold. I will say that
she's
Andrade
also better in the ring than her dad.
I remember seeing Andrade wrestle Drew McIntyre here in Rochester at the Main Street Armory for an NXT show that we went to, and it was just the best. It was great, and you really got to see what this guy could do against a guy like Drew McIntyre. They really clicked in the ring, and it's a shame it never happened again in WWE. You know, it's a bummer.
He was one of those guys, too, when they introduced him to NXT. Like, he started out pretty hot, and then he was just kind of withering out there for a while. And then when they paired him up with Zelina Vega, I mean, he took off again. And then, you know, he gets up to the main roster and...
I mean, back in 2018, when he had that match at TakeOver Philly against Gargano, I mean, he brought WWE's first 5-star match in how many years? So, I mean,
yeah, he was definitely a talent wasted, and he definitely was wasted. And he said he was tired of going to Raw and just sitting in the commissary eating the food. Because that's all he would do whenever he would go. They never had anything for him. And they tried to work him in. Heyman, he was an important guy in Heyman's plan when Heyman was in charge of Raw. You know, unfortunately, when Heyman got booted, a lot of things changed, you know. And unfortunately, you know, they just couldn't take advantage of Andrade. You know, remember Andrade was kind of like, Rey Mysterio wasn't with a company when Andrade started. Andrade, they wanted to try to get... You know, that high-profile Hispanic wrestler that the kids can get behind and stuff. And they thought that he was the next guy. And then they brought Ray back, and Ray brought his family with him. And so it's like they didn't really need to do what they were trying to create, you know. It's a shame because I really liked him a lot. And, I mean, but the best thing is he never learned English. So, you know, sometimes I think that's funny when you get a guy like guys who play baseball for 20 years in the United States and never learn a word of English, always have the translator with them. But, yeah, well, power to him. Let's see where he falls. I hope he shows up in AEW. I hope he shows up on Impact. Who knows? Maybe MLW, you know, that's probably good. That seems like a good place to start when you're trying to get back your foot back in, like, you know, people let people see you wrestle, because it's been quite a while since we've seen the guy on TV. So, you know, congratulations on being free, Andrade. You know, and
speaking of which, is that why Christian is wrestling on a taped AEW episode as opposed to a live? For his first match back this Wednesday against Kazarian?
Yeah, I wonder why.
I wonder if that's intentional.
Huh, that's a good question. I know that someone said that, you know, him, I think it was Lance Storm came out and said that him being booked the way he has was dangerous because he felt like, you know, it was doomed to fail. And we'll see what happens. Christian is a very smart guy and can turn, you know, lemons into lemonade or whatever. So we'll see what happens. Some other news. Barry Orton, the uncle of Randy Orton, passed away last week. They didn't say what he died of, but he was a brother of Bob Orton Jr. And people might remember he's the one who came out against WWE executive Terry Garvin for making sexual advances on him in a car trip. And it was kind of a story that was, you know, going around in the early 80s. I think he ended up being on the Springer show or whatever, and there was... You know, but he kind of got blackballed from wrestling because of that, you know. But he was, you know, I remember Barry O. We call him Barry O. I remember him. Well, he was jobber to the stars. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, him and his, you know, send our best to him and his family. Some other news. John Silver on AEW this past week had a great match with Darby Allin and got hurt in the process. Not really sure how bad it is. Looked like it was a shoulder issue or something. It dislocated shoulder halfway through the match, but it looks like he'll be not needing surgery or anything, nothing too serious. But that was a fun match. You guys enjoy that match?
I loved it.
I wonder what it could have been if he didn't get hurt, because it seemed early in the match when he went over the guardrail on the outside and came down and Reynolds quickly ran over to check on him. Like, I wonder how much better the match could have been. But still, I mean, he's been a rising star there for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, He looked great, and even so, just like you said, it happened so early. You could tell he was kind of like tending to his shoulder throughout the rest of the match, but even so, he still powered through it.
Definitely, and you don't get an opportunity to be the main event of a TV show often. So when you do, you just push that pain to the side and try to, we've seen it happen before. We've seen it, Finn Balor do it in the WWE by winning a title when he had his shoulder crushed by buckle bomb to the outside. So one last thing, and before we get out of here, and I want to thank you guys for coming out and definitely being here, and thank you everybody for listening. Peacock is supposedly removing controversial segments from past WWE shows on the WWE Network, and I guess some people have went. It's been revealed that the backstage segment from Survivor Series 2005 with Vince McMahon and John Cena has been removed. That's the infamous segment where McMahon dropped the N-word while talking with Cena, which I always felt uncomfortable about, Booker T did it once, and I felt uncomfortable back then when he did it, but even worse when Vince McMahon did it. And they also removed the WrestleMania 6 match between Bad News Brown and WWE Hall of Famer Roddy Piper, where Roddy Piper cut the promos on Brown while wearing blackface in the building to the match and then wrestled with half his body painted black and half painted white. Should that be removed? I mean, maybe the blackface stuff without a doubt. I mean, I'm definitely, but I don't know if he, we're going to have some gaps in some stuff. That's just the beginning of it. Keep your eyes open for Peacock to be editing your favorite matches. And on that note, I've got to say thank you guys for coming out. Thank you so much. Another show week in the, we got the WrestleMania coming up. We're going to have a spectacular as we get closer. I know, even if we're not thrilled about what's going on 100%, I definitely, it's coming. It's only less than 2 weeks away. So, about 2 weeks away, but we'll be in the midst of it in 2 weeks. So, but I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Furby. Thank you, Artiste. We'll see you guys next week on Fox Sports 1280.